with me. Heavenly Father, we praise you, and we thank you that your word endures forever, and your word feeds us, nourishes us, and sustains us. And so, Lord, now as we turn to your word, would you speak to us? In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. Well, glad you are all here with us. Good evening. My name is Will Freischlag, on staff here. And as I was trying to think about ashes and explain Ash Wednesday to my kids, the first thing I thought of is a burnt tree and the ash that comes off of burnt trees from a forest fire. You see, in the summer of 2002, the Hayman Fire burned 138,000 acres of Pike National Forest, making it the largest forest fire in Colorado history at that time. 18 years later, just this past year, the Pine Gulch and the Cameron Creek fires would surpass the Hayman Fire, burning 139 and 208,000 acres, respectively. And so we have these trees on our stage, brought back from the Grand Lake area from the East Troublesome Fire this past fall, to convey a stark imagery of the aftermath of a forest fire. You see, for many summers leading up to and then especially after the Hayman Fire, I spent a lot of time riding horses and hiking in this Pike National Forest burn. Riding across a post-fire landscape was eerie and somber. The ground was ashen gray, and there were black sticks as far as the eye could see. A beautiful forest here today and gone tomorrow. It was nearly impossible to return from a ride without being covered in some sort of charcoal and ash, a very streaky reminder of the fragility of our surroundings, a sobering mark of the frailty of life. And that's sort of what we enter into on Ash Wednesday and the beginning of this season of Lent. It's a time to reflect on our mortality, our frailty, and our finitude. This is a time of confession and repentance, as we've already walked through, a time to remember with confidence and gratitude the sacrifice that Christ made for us, conquering sin and death. I mentioned these trees behind me that we've got up for this sermon series that we'll have up all the way up until Easter as we work through this sermon series in 1 Peter. And so in light of the season of Lent, I want to return to one verse in a passage that Pastor Doug preached from almost 4 weeks ago. If you have a Bible or a Bible app, we'll also have it up on the screen, but we're going to turn back to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. And just this one verse, one sentence that I want to pull a few phrases from. Peter says, "Preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." The first word I want to highlight is prepare. Prepare. We recognize Ash Wednesday as the beginning of the season of Lent, and Lent is a season of preparation before and leading up to Easter or Resurrection Sunday. In the same way that Advent, the weeks leading up to Christmas, we spend through Advent preparing for Christmas. Ash Wednesday and Lent are not events that are specifically called out by Jesus or by New Testament writers in the Bible. So if you go to your Bible looking for Lent or Ash Wednesday, you won't find it. But it was a practice developed by early Christians as early as 130 AD. At that time, it might have only lasted for a couple days, and it might have only been observed by those who were preparing to be baptized on Easter. But then we see further development and more widespread recognition at the time of the Council of Nicaea in 325. And by that time, the Christians had begun to make a tie to Jesus' 40 days in the desert that he spent fasting before his temptation by the devil. And so the tradition goes that we count back 40 days from Easter, not including Sundays. Sundays recognized as feast days, and we arrive at the Wednesday 7 weeks before Easter. That today, Ash Wednesday. That might be a review for some of us. For others, maybe you had no idea what you were getting into. Is it anybody, the first Ash Wednesday service you've been to tonight? How many times? Yep, a bunch of you guys. I'm so glad that you guys, the students, you're here with us, families, you've brought kids. So again, this is a season of preparation. Just as Peter calls us to prepare our minds for action, we view this season of Lent as 40 days to prepare our hearts and minds to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus at Easter. And so how do we use this season to prepare our hearts and minds? How do we hear Jesus more clearly and pay attention to what he's doing in our lives to draw us closer to himself? Well, there are three primary disciplines of the church during Lent that have been recognized that are prayer, fasting, and generosity or almsgiving. And the one that definitely gets the most press, the most recognition is, it seems, is fasting. And so I want to unpack that a little bit for us. Because as followers of Jesus, we long to worship him. We long to set our minds on Christ. But because of residual sin in our lives, we get distracted. We have so many things that get in the way that steal our love and our attention away from God. And so the practice of fasting or of giving something up for Lent is one where we sober ourselves. And this is the second thing that Peter tells us. He tells us to prepare and then to be sober-minded. The Apostle Paul will also tell us in Romans chapter 12 that we are to not think of ourselves more highly than we ought, but rather with sober judgment. It's a bit of a reality check, honestly, and it's good for us to take regular examine of our lives throughout the course of the year. And this Lenten season is one of those key times to do that. Because again, it's all too easy for us to get busy, and the next thing we know, we've allowed very non-essential things to take center stage in our life, to take precedence. It seems like so quickly, and yet it happens over a slow period of time. Deceptively, we tend to crave things that we don't need until we all of a sudden are then finding ourselves enslaved to them. So practicing a fast helps us to sober our minds and allows us to let go of certain things and redirect our full attention towards God. You see, more than any other discipline, fasting reveals the things that control us. And so, if we would humble ourselves with sober minds, with sober self-estimations, then we are in a posture of allowing God to transform us into the image of his son, Jesus. So often the focus of fasting, though, is on the giving up. And even though detachment is important, it is also important for us to go on to attachment. The practice of a fast will oftentimes be connected with that of a feast. But this is a practice, again, generally centered around scripture and prayer that might replace the time or space given up to the thing that was given up. And so during Jesus' 40-day fast, he responds to the temptation of the devil with scripture, that we are sustained by the word of God, Matthew 4. Another author puts it this way. He said, "The detachment from the confusion all around us is in order to have a richer attachment to God." May be very clear, though, this does not mean that by fasting or feasting that I can cause God to love me anymore. Thankfully, his mercy is based on his steadfast love, as we read earlier in Psalm 51. And so we don't engage in a fast to beat ourselves up or to punish ourselves for our sins, because Jesus took that punishment for us. Again, these disciplines are meant to empty us so that then the Lord may fill us. We make ourselves available to Christ, trusting that he continually grows us in faith and understanding of his grace. And so that's the third piece that Peter mentions in this verse. The point of a fast or a feast or any spiritual discipline is that we would set our hope fully on God. That we would set our hope fully on God. Fasting must be God-centered, God-initiated, and God-ordained. We don't just do something or go through these rhythms because it sounds like a good challenge or because everyone else is observing something through Lent. No, we prepare our minds, we humble ourselves, and we seek the Holy Spirit's guidance. And so I'm going to invite Pastor Matt to come back up and play a little bit for us. Maybe you came in tonight and you knew it was Ash Wednesday. You sort of knew the drill. You've already kind of given some thought to maybe what you would give up or take up for Lent. But maybe not. And so I'm going to give us a little bit of time to pause and reflect. I'm going to ask a few questions here as sort of prompts, and I want to invite you to think through them. Because the intent is to discern what God is calling us to. How God may be calling us, as Pastor Doug challenged us, to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this season, to bring healing, to bring reconciliation. All right? Again, as Peter sets before us, when we prepare our hearts, when we quiet our minds, when we humble ourselves before God, then we can fix our hope fully on the grace that he offers. So I'm going to ask Matt to play quietly, and I'm just going to read some of these questions slowly as Matt plays, as you reflect. What are the idols that I'm turning to in place of God? What's the thing that I impulsively turn to instead of Jesus? What's something that's hindering my relationship with Jesus? What do I turn to instead of Jesus for comfort or for meaning? What's a distraction to my heart and mind keeping me from spending time with God? Jesus, we ask that through the power of the Holy Spirit, God, that you would fill us, that you would call out the places of our lives, Lord, that we have made idols above you. God, the things that we have given our time, our energy, our attention to that are not, Lord, they're not worthy of the call of the gospel. God, things that are either harmful or things that are just not necessary. And God, we know that you will do that, that you will help us discern that, that the Holy Spirit will come like a surgical knife. God, when we measure our lives up against Scripture, that you divide to soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and you help us to see the ways that we have sinned against you, God, in the ways that we need to follow you more closely. So God, impress on our hearts now the ways in which you would have us follow you, grow in knowledge of you, grow in knowledge of your grace. In your name we pray, amen. A couple other notes, again, just as sort of practical guidance, again, if this is maybe some of the first time you've engaged in the Lent season, maybe of a fast, of giving something up or taking something up, a few things from Scripture that we see regarding the fast. First, Jesus tells his disciples that when they fast, they shouldn't do it for attention. They shouldn't look gloomy or obvious about their fast. And so the first point is that we're not to make a big deal about what we choose to fast from in a Lenten season if God calls you to do that. But again, we're called to fix our hope fully on God, recognizing that he will bless those who earnestly seek him. The other side of this coin, however, is that a fast can be really hard to do alone, especially if it's not something that you're used to. And so while this doesn't need to be broadcast to every social media platform about what you're going to give up, especially if you're going to give up a social media platform, I think, however, it should be shared with someone close to you. That's maybe a spouse. For students, maybe that's Megan or one of your volunteer leaders. Maybe that's a pastor, a mentor, a parent, a close friend. Again, someone that you can have some accountability with, someone that can encourage you along this journey. The other scripture that I want to direct you to read or reflect on, sadly we don't have time to unpack it now, is Isaiah 58, 3 through 9, where the prophet Isaiah contrasts hypocritical fasting compared to the fast that God would actually be honored by. And he essentially puts the focus on justice. On justice and serving others. Again, as Doug already reminded of us, coming through such a hard season, we are called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And so the season of Lent is not just to be introspective for ourselves, but we should also pray for the Holy Spirit to guide us to see ways that we can care for others, ways that we can serve and give of our time and our money. Again, we prepare, we sober or humble ourselves, and then we set our hope fully on God. We're going to move now to the time of the imposition of ashes, which is an old tradition that leans on the Old Testament scripture where ashes or dust symbolize frailty or death, sadness or mourning, judgment and repentance. And we'll have three stations up here, Matt, myself, and Pastor Doug. And as you come down and sort of line up in the aisle, we want to have you line up in family groupings. I know students, if you're here with a sibling, that's awesome. Otherwise, we'll line up in sort of a socially distanced manner down each aisle here. If the aisle looks full, go ahead and stay in your seat until it's clear. This is not something that you have to do. Again, if you feel the Lord calling you and prompting to join us down front, we'll do that. And we have these brushes that we will then dip in the ashes and place a mark of a cross on your forehead. Again, we're trying to keep it safe and sanitary. The ashes themselves are obviously quite gritty and dirty. That's the point. But as we've moved through this service, we've recognized our broken and sinful nature, our deep need for a Savior. We repent and we turn to God, thanking Him for the sacrifice of Jesus and the forgiveness of our sins. And so the mark of the cross on your forehead will be accompanied by the sobering reminder that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. A sobering reminder, no doubt. But with a sober mind, we set our hope not on this world, not on this life, but we set our hope on eternal life that comes through Christ Jesus. Amen. So I'm going to close in prayer, and then we'll invite you to come down front. So would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, what is man that you are mindful of him? God, the fact that you created us from dust, and to dust we will return. So God, our prayer is that you will mold us and shape us to be more like your Son Jesus as you use us and guide us during our time on this earth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.